Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And our text in our continuing attention to the letter of Paul to the Romans is that second lesson which we heard previously read, and it is also printed in your bulletin on the third page, in which Paul says, among other things, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Let's begin today by considering two pictures. One of them is an etching, the other a great painting. They are both by the famous artist Rembrandt. And they are both about the same subject, but there is a lot of difference between the two. Both of them are about the prodigal son, so well known from the parable told by Jesus. In the earlier etching, Rembrandt focuses upon action. The scene is filled with movement. In various ways, all are rushing to join the father, who ran out before them to lean over and embrace his wayward but repentant son. He is caught in mid-stride, reaching out to grasp him. But some 32 years after this etching, Rembrandt turns to the same subject and painting a great masterpiece. And in this one, there is little or no movement at all. He is interested far more in presence than in action. All are gazing at one central experience: the father leaning over his son, and the son leaning into his father. It is as if time has stopped, and one sees this one moment, that crucial moment when the father acknowledges and claims and receives and blesses and, yes, even loves his son who had been nothing but rebellious towards him. So it is with you and me and God our Father. Unworthy though we are, in Christ, God claims us as his children. He claims us, as the text says, as his sons. And that has nothing to do with gender, for we know in those days it was the sons who received the inheritance. And in this way, Paul is saying we all are sons in that sense, because in Christ we all receive the inheritance, everything that God wants to give to us as members of his family. So on the basis of this text from Romans, we can consider this theme, God our Father. Our relationship to him is not one of slavery, but as a son. Paul says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So it's a dramatic contrast between being a slave and being a son. We aren't a slave in that sense. We are in other ways, but in this sense, no. We are a son because we're part of the family. And it's how we pray, and that says it all. We say, Our Father. We say, Abba, Father. And Paul is using two different languages there. Abba, the Aramaic, for something like dad, and pater in the Greek, father. So it's as if he's saying, it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile or what language you speak, we're all family in Christ. No distinctions any longer. But notice in the painting, the son really looks less like a son and more like a slave. His head is shaven as if a prisoner. His eyes are closed as if exhausted, and he brings his slavery to sin and rebellion against his father. And the father draws him close and brings sonship to his child. That's you and I. Because by nature, our sinful passions consume us and take us away from God. And Paul says, if we live according to the flesh, that is the old sinful nature, then we die. We have nothing. We are separated from God and from life. But God has brought us to life again in the death and resurrection of Jesus, his son. Because in dying for us, Jesus took the exile of our sin upon himself. And in rising to life, he brings us back into God's embrace again. In Christ, God places his hands upon us He forgives us as we come to Him repentantly and in confession, and He draws us near to His heart of love. And He does that not because of anything that we have done. It is through His forgiving love, and that is what motivated the prodigal son to come back to his father. He remembered His love, and Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, that is on the cross, I will draw all people to myself." The magnetic power is the power of His sacrificial love for you and for me and for the whole world. And now the Spirit of God speaks to our spirit, that is our inner selves, and He bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That is a fact, no matter what anyone or anything else may say, even when we may wonder or doubt it ourselves. That is the testimony of God's Holy Spirit, declared in our baptism, reaffirmed every day by the gospel promises, and sealed in the Holy Supper of Christ's body and blood. You are a child of God. Slavery to sin and death is transformed into being sons, heirs of everything that Jesus came to bring us. As we said, we express that in prayer. God comes to us in the message about Jesus and in the sacraments. There we sort of inhale the grace of God, and we are given life. In prayer, we exhale our joy and our peace in being His children because we can call Him Father. We need to stay focused on that, who we are, who God the Father makes us, sons and heirs, because there is so much that is constantly trying to take that away from us. Paul says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Daily we are bombarded with messages that try to take all of that away from us. Advertisements, commercial messages, movie plots, images of wealth and luxury, vacation getaways, things designed to make you outwardly beautiful, alluring and flawless, all of it saying you don't have enough, you aren't enough, you don't measure up, you are deficient. You need more money. You need better looks. You need more fun to have the meaning of life, to have it to the full. And behind it all is the satanic delusion that is designed to rob us of our true identity as the children of God and to make us into children of the world, of the flesh, of nothing but material things that will all pass away. Being a child of God is not about accomplishing the American dream of wealth and independence. Without God, what do you have? Ultimately, nothing. Nothing but eternal lostness and emptiness. But we are heirs of God, not of wealth and prosperity. And as such, our lives will look different. We will bless and not curse. We will show contentment and not greed. We will strive for the good of others and not just of ourselves. And the meaning to our lives will not be found in climbing the corporate ladder, but in descending to the real world where it is, this broken world where there is suffering and need. And so Paul appends this remark. Yes, we are joint heirs with Christ, but he says, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. There is a message abroad in the land which is false, which says that if you follow Jesus, you will have wealth and prosperity, and you will have everything you ever wanted to have. It is not true. We are aliens and strangers in this world, longing for the one that is to come. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. We can shed a tear with those who grieve. We can care for those who are lonely and in need. We can feel the pangs of a broken and sinful world. Coming back to the painting of the prodigal son, you will notice that Rembrandt has frozen the story just at the moment before the son receives all of the tangible gifts from his father. He does not have a robe placed on him. He does not have the father's ring on his finger. He does not have good shoes on his feet. He has one thing. He has the father. And that is everything. And so too, God has called us to live as people of faith in this world. Not as people who have all the answers and have nothing but smooth sailing through a life of comfort and ease, but as the children of God who are filled with the love of Christ, who know that glory is promised and it will come. We are heirs, fellow heirs with Christ, but not yet. We live in this life as it really is. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But he adds, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So Rembrandt focuses on one thing that can never be taken away from us. Adopted through faith as God's son and heir, his forever. God the Father claims you as his child. In Jesus, fears are silenced. Our future is secure. We will be glorified with him. But in this life, we live by faith through the world. And that faith itself is testimony that the Spirit is working in us. And we are in his loving, forgiving, and embracing love. God is your Father, now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand now and confess our faith together.